the name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's worth it, sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Help me say, oh, how I love Jesus. Help me say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, let's say it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. One more time, let's say it together. Oh, how I, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Because he first, because because he first, because he first loved me. One more time. Because he first loved me. Amen. Amen. We got to admit that God initiated this relationship. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Showed us his love this week as we celebrated the homegoing of Motherlanders. And please continue to pray for the entire family. And so wonderful as you came alongside to support them. Do want to mention also, please remember Sister Dorothy Bay and Derek. Dorothy's mom passed away this week. Of course, she lives in Monrovia, Liberia. And please remember Dorothy. And she's not going to be able to go to celebrate her homegoing of her mother. Her status with her visa is still on the TPS, and it's a mess. But one of these days, that's why we got to keep doing justice ministry, because there's some folk that come into the country on a red carpet, and there's others that don't seem to be enough room. I wondered if the Native Americans, if they had put up a sign, ain't got no room. That's another sermon for another day. Yes, sir. That's why you got to do justice ministry, because folk will come into somebody else's land and take over and then build a wall. Ain't that a booger? Mark chapter 14. I want to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 14. As we head towards Easter. The first sermon I want to deal with as we head towards Easter is I want to look at this classic case of pride. Classic case of pride. If you'll turn to the 66th verse, I'll catch up with you there in just a second. The 27th verse, I didn't put it on the screen. But Jesus says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them. He was quoting Zechariah 13:7, where it said, "I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." That's in the 27th verse. He's quoting Zechariah 13:7. I want to begin reading at verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand. I don't know what you're talking about." And he went out into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw him standing there, she said again to those standing around, "This fella is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near Jesus, said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean." And he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. I want to talk about a classic case of pride. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the context of where this takes place. It's the Thursday night where Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal, and he has what is known as the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. And there, in the midst of that fellowship, he's about to close it out and go to the garden to pray a while. After spending time in prayer a while, the soldiers are going to come because Judas had left the meal and ran and told them where they could catch him, because it was a place where he prayed quite often. Judas had already cut the deal to get 30 pieces of silver if Judas would let the folk know where they could catch him and if he would identify him. It's in the midst of this fellowship, right before they leave to go to the garden, that Jesus looks around the table and says to those who are there, "All of y'all gonna fall away. All of y'all gonna scatter." like roaches when the lights come on. But don't worry, they're going to take me, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Peter, who by all, you know, if they were a line of fellows in a fraternity pledging, Peter would be number one. He would be the rock. He would be the leader. Peter is the one. If anybody gonna speak up anytime, anywhere, it's gonna be Peter. And one of the problems when you take the mic a lot, you're gonna get your foot in your mouth sometime. It's happened to me. I've tried my best. I walk out of that office I say to myself every time I walk out of that office, Lord, help me to keep these number 12s out of my mouth today. But every now and then, because if you have a high level, if you talk a lot, then you have a high percentage of saying something you wish you hadn't said. But Peter has been a little close to Jesus because down through the years, it's evident that Jesus likes Peter and Peter likes Jesus, and Peter's a person that Jesus can depend on. Kind of like this, Jesus seems to have done a few favors for Peter. You remember when Peter's mother-in-law was sick? Jesus healed her. I mean, he healed her so well that she came out of the bedroom and went right into the kitchen and fixed them a meal. You feel it pretty good. He did that for Peter. And so now, of course, Peter's wife is happy. His mama in law finally can say something positive about the son-in-law, because Peter got a friend in Jesus. when they were going to pray one day, and Jesus told 10 of them, y'all stay here, and Jesus took Peter, James, took Peter, James, and John, took him up on the mountain, and Jesus prayed until he was transfigured. And Peter got to see some stuff that some of the other fellows didn't get to see. Peter experienced a few favors that some of the other fellows didn't get to experience. And so no doubt when you end up being close to Jesus, kind of like his right-hand man, it'll go to your head if you ain't careful. One of the risks of God blessing folk, that it is possible, if you aren't careful, to forget the blessor and become real excited about the blessing. I love that line in the Negro National Anthem. Lest our hearts, drunk from the wine of the world, we forget thee. Doggone it. Because it's possible for God to bring you so far that you look back and actually see that you are a little further along than others, but you can make the mistake of letting it go to your head. Whenever I use the word pride, Brother Horn, I try to capture it like this: godly proud. For instance, I look at you, I'm so godly proud. of your love for your wife, and have you, I mean, you jumping in there and y'all getting on the same end of the rope and y'all pulling together and y'all trying to work together, been through a tough season, and y'all hanging in there. And I'm convinced that God has great things in store for you. I'm convinced that God's going to bless you in such a way that when you look back, you can't forget what happened, but he's going to make it so good in the present that you'll say, I reckon that the suffering of that past is not worthy to be compared to what God is doing right now. Godly proud. The problem with pride is that it implies that you did it all by yourself. And God hates that, because none of us got where we are none of us have what we have. None of us know what we know. In this text, Jesus says, y'all going to scatter. And here's what pride will do. Here's my first one. I'm going to get on through this simple outline. The first problem with pride, it'll make you debate with the deliverer. It'll cause you to start debating. Peter debates with the deliverer. Jesus said, all y'all are going to scatter. When they strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Because sheep can't make it without the shepherd. And when the shepherd go down, the sheep are going to scatter. That was spoken of back in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Hundreds of years ago, it's already been spoken that down the road, the Lamb of God, who came to be a lamb, but who ultimately is our shepherd, is going to be struck. And when they strike him down, the sheep momentarily ain't going to know what to do because they didn't listen to his words. And he begins to argue with Jesus. First he says, not me. And then he says, then Peter does something very classic. We call it throwing folk under the bus. And what Peter does, he's real strong. He takes all 10 of the disciples and throws the rest of them under the bus, saying, now I know these blankety blank so-and-sos are going to scatter. But you know, John, don't you do it, John. Leave me alone, John. Leave me alone. Because John trying to, I ain't going to say that, John. John from Memphis, and his cussing work real good. I ain't going to do it. I know these will, but not me. He says to Jesus, matter of fact, Jesus, I'll go even a step further. You didn't ask me to do this yet, but I'll even die for you. In other words, Jesus, ain't no way you gonna go down without me going down too, because I love you that much that I'll die for you. And Jesus looked at it. Has there ever been a time in your life where you look back and said to yourself, that sure was stupid? I mean, when you get to the other side and you reflect back some of the stuff you did and some of the stuff, you know, and can you imagine that Peter down the road saying to his grandbabies, you know, one of the silliest things I did, I argued with Jesus, who knows the very hairs on my head, and I was arguing. Jesus said, I know your intention. She ain't, Matter of fact, not just scattered, you're going to deny me. I'll get to that in a minute. Not just once. And you're going to do it before John calls you to see if you want to go to Nelly's for breakfast. Nelly's is in Newburgh, by the way, right next to Hardee's, if you want a good breakfast. Recommend the chicken and waffles before I gave up carbs. It's a classic case of pride. Pride made him debate with the deliverer. Here's another one. Pride will make you delusional about your own deeds. Pride will have you saying what you ain't never gonna do. There's some things I don't want to do, but I sure ain't going to say there's some stuff I will never do. One of the problems with saying something like that is that when you talk like that, your adversary is listening. And here's what he does. Your adversary, the devil, Satan, even though he can't get your soul, he's extremely interested in neutralizing you so that you won't be effective for the kingdom. He can't take your soul. Can't do nothing about that. Can't do nothing about that. However, it's very possible that you could fall in such a way that there'll be a lot of folk that will look at you and you will be, quote, a stumbling block to advancing the kingdom for them. Because people are all at different levels of maturity. Amen. And there's some folk that, listen. There was a little boy. I made up my mind that preaching, good preaching, wasn't determined by a good suit. I grew up in Hopkinsville where somebody evidently put out a narrative that you can't preach unless you got a good suit. And I grew up in a church where first it was all black suits, and if it ain't a white shirt, then you ain't doing it right, black towel and that kind of stuff. And then somebody turned some folk out, and now you see a rainbow of colors. And they took that same belief to Indianapolis. And so you got people going into in debt, buying stuff that they can't afford, try to impress, thinking that the preaching is in the suit. And I got sick of it. And I want to be respectful. I want to be respectful. And so that's why I put on a suit for y'all. I'll put it on first Sunday, and I'll put it on if somebody die. But y'all know I ain't stutting, no. Matter of fact, I was in Indianapolis the other day. I bought two more. They ain't made it to my house yet. But I did that for y'all's benefit, because I ain't stutting, no. Because some people think it ain't good preaching if it ain't no suit. There was this little boy, I was going over to Mount Sinai, Reverend Moore's grandson. He said to me, "You ain't got on a suit. You don't have a tie. How you gonna preach?" Because he'd been wearing suits since he was in diapers, sitting on the front row, So funny, I saw him the other week at Memorial, and he didn't have on a suit. I wanted to ask him, where's your suit? Because it ain't in the suit. He was saying stuff, what he would never do. But he never, because he's looking down on the other fellows. I would never do that. And you got to be careful because Satan hears that. And he's good at trying to embarrass folk. Have I got a witness here? And here's my point. I'm trying to get through this point. I'll wrap this point real quick. Peter was saying all of that without the benefit of the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. He was saying what he would never do. And he did not have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you a minute to catch it. Because I want you to be a thinking people. You remember after Jesus got up from the dead, he didn't send them out to preach. He said, You stay yourself. Stay right here and wait till I get back to the Father. And you'll know I'm back to the Father, because when I get back to the Father, he's going to dispatch. Now, here's what I don't know. Here's what I don't know, Destiny. I don't know if he had to go tag heaven and then the Lord sent the Holy Ghost, or if God dispatched the Holy Ghost while he was on his way. I don't know. And maybe that ain't important, but here's what I do know. The message was, don't you do nothing until you receive power. Because you're going to need the Holy Ghost, the power of God in you, to do what I'm calling and telling you to do. And Peter is sitting up here with no indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, saying what he will never do. I'm waiting on y'all to catch this, because I hope you're saying in your mind, that show was stupid, because I know the stuff I do even with the Holy Ghost. I know I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, and there's still some stuff. Said I wasn't going to say. And I know I got the Holy Ghost, because the minute after I did it, the Holy Ghost became a washing machine and started agitating me and would not let me rest until I repented of my sin. And that's why you got to have a level of maturity when you're witnessing to people, and people who don't know the Lord and who haven't been saved start talking about what they ain't gonna do. He's delusional. Let me do the last one. Here's the last one. He denies the one he can't do without. Pride will make you deny the one you can't do without. Harrison, come here a minute. I told you that Peter threw all the disciples under the bus. Let me tell you what the disciples did back to him. They threw him under the bus. Let me give it to you, David. Every single gospel writer wrote about his fall. Matthew chapter 26, 69 wrote every detail about his fall. Luke in the 22nd chapter, 56th verse, they wrote about his denial and his fall. John, John in chapter 18 wrote everything about his fall. John said he was following Jesus from a distance, and they took him in to see Herod into the court, and he couldn't get through the courtyard because he didn't know nobody, but there was another disciple who knew one of the servants, and the servant let the other disciple in. And then once the other disciple got in, then they let him go back to the door and get Peter. And then they came in together, wrote it all. Every single one of them told what Peter did. Now here's why I know they threw him under the bus. Not one of them said what they did. Matthew, he didn't say where he was. He didn't say what he did. Luke didn't say what he did. John didn't say what he did. Jesus said, all y'all gonna scatter, but they all wrote about Peter. Cause folk will throw you under the bus when they get a chance. It was a little girl. She was a servant of Herod. She said, ain't you one of them? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the little girl, then he's over warming himself by the fire. And the little girl walks over to some other folk and tells them, pointing back to him, he's one of them. And this wasn't even an A and B conversation. And Peter still said, I told you I didn't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Then he leaves the courtyard, goes back out into the gateway by the door, went on the outside, and a little while later, because folk looking at him, they looking at him, and they said, come on, man. Come on, man. You were with him, weren't you? See, they teed it up so it'd be easy for him to say a yes. You were with him, weren't you? Then, see, we read this text a little different because it says he swore an oath and was cursing. Let me explain. When he talks about swearing an oath and bringing down cursing, that's different than cussing. Now, let me tell you the truth. I believe he was cussing, but the emphasis was on what he was really saying is, if I'm lying, may the Lord strike me with the worst punishment there is. And knowing him being Peter, And he surely put some blankety blanks in there, because it's a point of emphasis. People who haven't expanded their vocabulary, they cuss and they use foul language, not just because they haven't expanded their vocabulary. It's a point of emphasis. My son confronted me one time. I was down at the barber shop, and these fellas kept pushing me, and he's a friend, and just being silly. And I said, I don't do the F-bombs and all that stuff, but I sure said some of them, a couple of them other ones. And my son waited till he got me to the truck and said, "Daddy, I wish you wouldn't cuss." And I was trying to explain to him, he's about 9, 10 years old, I was trying to explain that wasn't real cussing. When you hear the words "damn" and, you know, that ain't real, that ain't street cussing. That, what you heard was, even your grandmama says that SH, you know, but real cussing. He said, "Dad, I don't care what you're saying, I still wish you wouldn't do it." Because here's what happened. You can't hang out with Jesus for 3 years and not be changed. Even the heathen knew you different. One of the writers said, "No, your speech ain't quite. You trying to cuss, but you know, yeah, that ain't real. Cause he been hanging with Jesus, and you can't hang with Jesus for 3.5 years and it not change you. He will change the way you talk. He will change the way you think. He will change the way you love. He'll change the way you give. You can't spend that much time with Jesus. Matter of fact, you can't spend that much time in consecrated study of the Word of God and it not change you." The people recognized something's different about you. Aren't you glad that God's so good that he'll give you, go and say it, I ought to give y'all part of my money back, because y'all preach a third of my sermon. That's why I love preaching at the Nazarene Baptist Church. Y'all know I was just playing. Don't get excited, Destiny. Y'all know I'm just playing. I'm just playing. It was a hyperbole, exaggeration. Oh, I love this church. Love this church. He denied the one he can't do without. I close with this. Yesterday, Texas Tech, them Red Raiders, there was a fellow on there, not many people knew much about him. I think his name, Matt Mooney. Did I get the name right? Matt Mooney. People hadn't really heard about him because he'd been to two other schools. And he came to Texas Tech as a senior, about 6'3", 3 rebounds a game, 10 points, Nothing major about it. Tough defender. But Matt Mooney, that boy went to a whole nother level. Went to a whole nother level yesterday. He drove that lane and did that back step and over and over. And they took one short fella on him, put a big guy on it. Didn't matter. I mean, this game going back and forth, and you got to have a whole lot of courage to pop a three when the game is right on the line, where every possession could make a difference in winning or losing. And he was popping them threes, and when the game was over, they were interviewing the coach, and he was standing beside the coach. Coach just put his arms around him and kissed him. And then when the coach was done, the lady said to him, hey, what's it like? What's it like knowing that you're going to get to play for the national championship? And tell us, what did it feel like when you were, and she was asking all these basketball questions, and she put the mic up to his mouth. He said, first of all, giving all glory and honor to God. Because none of this would have been possible. He's been good to me, better to me than I could ever be. And I just want to thank him for just another chance, just the opportunity to play another game. He said, I done forgot your question. Because when the Lord blesses you, when the Lord gives you a chance, when the Lord elevates you to a platform that you ain't never seen before, I don't care what the question is. The answer is always, I give glory to God because he made a way. Have I got a witness here? Some of y'all went to that church service on Friday morning on the west side of town, on USI Missionary Baptist Church. Have I got a witness here? And after all was said and done, the new president stood up, and before he could say anything else, he said, I know what your question is, but I need y'all to know that this ain't happening without God. I got to thank God, because nothing like this happens without. I know you got dignitaries. I know there's the governor sitting there. There's the mayor sitting there. You got deans and people with a whole lot of letters behind their name that don't believe in my God. But I'm standing here to tell you that the God I serve, I don't know what the question is, but I do know who the answer is. Who made a way for you? Who healed your heart? Who opened doors for you? Who healed your body? Who forgave you of your sin? Who made a way out of no way? I don't know. It don't matter what the question is. The answer is, to God be the glory for the things he has done. Thank God, God gave him another chance, and he stood and testified to the goodness of the Lord. And I stand here today to let you know, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, the God I serve, he's a God of another chance. Pride may have got the best of you, because when you're scared, you'll say some stuff you probably shouldn't say, do some stuff because you're trying to save your skin. Then once you think about it, you'll discover that if it had not been for Christ, you and I wouldn't be here today. Somebody looking at me, let's thank God for the word.